Congregation, why is the healing of the blind man recorded for us at such great length in John's Gospel? I mean, there were many, many miracles that Jesus performed throughout his earthly ministry. Some of them get just a few lines. Some, like this one, get a whole chapter. Why is this particular miracle told for us at such great length? One of the important reasons that we have it in such length is that it's given to us to highlight the teaching that Jesus has just given. And it's the case here. Just back a page in chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus had said this. He had said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world." And so coming to this healing of the blind man, Jesus has a live action illustration, an objectless lesson, an illustration demonstrating that Jesus is the light of the world. And as the light of the world, he opens the eyes of the blind so that they may see. But I think it's clear to us, as we began reading this story, that Jesus is not merely interested in opening the eyes of people who were born blind, or even people who were physically blind. His overriding concern is with those who are also spiritually blind. And we're going to meet some of those people in this chapter. Blindness has a double meaning in the story. So keeping in mind these two different ways of being blind, the important question I want us to focus our attention on this evening, the question that comes out of this chapter and helps us to see why Jesus had it recorded for us. A question that touches on our lives too in a number of ways. The question is, why are the blind healed? Why are the blind healed? The blind are healed, first of all, to display God's glory. The blind are healed to display God's glory. And there are three different ways in which God's glory is on display here in the miracle. Firstly, to display God's glory in his Son, or in the healing that we see itself. I think as we read this story, we can't miss noticing the compassion of Jesus. Here is a man in a pitiable condition, a terrible condition, really, reduced to begging to make ends meet. And Jesus' disciples see him. What's their interest? It's a good starter for a bit of a theological debate. Who sinned? Was it this man that he was born blind, or was it his parents? Jesus doesn't let himself get tied down to those two options his disciples present. For the real reason why this man was born blind, Jesus tells us, was so that the work of God could be revealed in his life, that his life might display God's glory. And God's glory is especially seen in what this miraculous healing tells us about God's Son. For this healing of the blind is what we call a messianic sign, a sign, a miracle that establishes Jesus' credentials, his authenticity. It's like his little security, his little tag that shows that he is who he says he is. He bears the credentials of the promised Messiah, the Savior. Isaiah 35 speaks of the time when God will come to save his people. There we are, back again. I don't think I put this one in. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the deaf stopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute shout for joy. Again, in chapter 42, which we now have up here, Isaiah prophesies concerning this coming servant of the Lord. And God the Lord, speaking of his servant, says, "I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, I am Jehovah. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another." The healing of the blind man displays God's glory. and God's glory especially seen and revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. You notice how there at the very end God says, I will not give my glory to another. God's very jealous for his glory. He holds on to it. It's very precious to him. And the reason, you see, therefore, that God's glory can be revealed through Jesus and yet God not give his glory to another, it's because of Jesus' divinity. Because Jesus was fully God, the second person of the Trinity, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is God, God's glory could be revealed in his life through his ministry and his teaching and his miracles without any competition going on. The blind are healed so that God's glory can be revealed in and through his Son. In healing the blind, God's glory is displayed not only in his Son, but also in the witness of the once blind. And this blind man who was healed, God's glory is displayed in the once blind man's witness. Fascinating little story, isn't it? When the Pharisees interrogate this man who's been healed, they also want him to give glory to God. We read that before in verse 24. They want him to give glory to God on account of what has been done. Well, they don't realize at the time, of course, that is exactly what this man is doing. They don't realize it. Even he doesn't realize it yet. The Pharisees are not willing to glorify God through his Son, through Jesus. And friends, if you're unwilling to glorify the Son, if you're unwilling to glorify Jesus, then you actually dishonor the one who sent him. But our once blind friend doesn't buckle under the pressure. Even though he's only just met Jesus, he hasn't even yet confessed him to be the Messiah, to be the Savior. Here he is, he's on the public stage, he's duking it out with the university professors of his age, the smartest men in the land, people who have got answers for everything. And who is he? Born blind, almost certainly, poorly educated as a result. This man is a nobody. This is someone of no importance in society. But what glory comes to God through this man's witness. In effect, what he says is something like, look, guys, I don't know all your highfalutin language and your words and things like that. I'm just a simple man. But nevertheless, I know this man healed me. Why are you so slow? Why didn't you get it? What's your secret agenda? What's your hidden motives? Do you want to be disciples too? that's what he's saying in effect. Never mind all your highly refined laws about what may or may not be done on the Sabbath. I am standing before you today as living proof from God. This man is from God. I've been healed. Friends, we don't need to be afraid about bringing the gospel to the so-called wise, to clever people. They may have lots of fancy language. They may speak in words of 10 syllables, and you just find it hard to understand all of their concepts and words. They've got lots of letters after their name, but friends, we don't need to be afraid of that. We don't need to be frightened. This once blind man, he stuck to what he knew. He was bold enough to stand up to the top dogs, and with his very simple testimony, God received glory that day. Of course, the acknowledgement, and it's true that God could receive glory through one who knew so little, shouldn't lead us to draw the conclusion that we should learn as little as possible ourselves, that we should stay at first base in the Christian life. It's important for us as believers to appreciate more fully what we believe, as well as why we believe. We can learn better how to defend the faith and to defend the faith biblically. I've got a book recommendation for you this evening as well, a book that I've really appreciated called Always Ready, Directions for defending the faith. But I've got many other books as well. Books that help us understand why we believe what we believe, reasons that reassure us in our faith and help us to speak to others and trigger their thinking. Words that the Spirit might use to bring about new life in someone's life. But whatever it is we know, up to this point, whatever it is we know, God can use our testimony. God can use your testimony, even your simple testimony of faith in Jesus to bring glory to Him as you bear witness to His name. And this particular man, we actually see a trajectory of growth in his life. We see a move from ignorance to increasing light, growing light. From a confession of Jesus back in verse 17 as the prophet to his confession of Jesus as from God in verse 33. The willingness for him to count the cost of his faith, the journey to belief and then onwards towards the very end of the passage from belief on to worship as well. Friends, the blind are healed to display God's glory and the witness of the once blind. And then thirdly, the blind are healed also to display God's glory in His providence. To display God's glory in His providence and the way in which God rules over all things in the world. I think at this point is just absolutely staggering when we step into the story. In order that the work of God might be revealed in this man's life, for 40 years, maybe more, maybe less, this man had been blind from birth, reduced to poverty, unknown to him, waiting for the time when Jesus would come at this time to display God's glory in his life. My friends, what if you had been him? How would you have coped? How would you have coped with the blindness? Might you have wondered what's the purpose of this all? Why, how a loving God and His providence could allow this to have happened to you? In the story this evening, we're reminded that God has a long-term plan. Now, we do not Often we do not understand God's providence. We do not understand why things happen to us. Perhaps, probably, this is one of the most difficult things we face in life as a Christian. Unanswered why questions. Perhaps this evening you're struggling with an unanswered why question. With physical illness or disability. A wayward child. You've lost your job, or God's brought someone into your work environment that's made your job just an absolute misery. Perhaps the death of someone you love. Perhaps some other painful and difficult situation, and you are asking this evening, why, God? Why? Why is this happening to me? By the grace of God, during the time I was at the RTC, I was able to re-establish contact with a friend I'd had from high school. And when I'd seen him some 9 or 10 years earlier, he was in the process of becoming an alcoholic. Scraping through at university while the bottle became his master, his friend, and then his master. And there I was in Geelong, and he was back in New Zealand, and there wasn't much I could do for him. I knew that. So I prayed. I prayed that God would bring a Christian flatmate into his life as a witness to him. And so I found out God answered my prayer. And as it happened, my friend's flatmate, who was a Christian, went through a time of great personal suffering. And she probably didn't know why. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? But she suffered as a Christian, as one who has hope and trust in God. And as I think of it, probably few words were spoken. Volumes were said, and my friend gave his life to Christ, and he's still following him today, not without his struggles. He still holds on to faith. I tell that story this evening because I can't answer your particular question about the suffering that you are experiencing, the suffering you have experienced. I can't answer the why question. But I do know this, that even like we see in the life of this man who was born blind, and in the life of my friend's Christian flatmate who went through this time of personal suffering, I do know this, that God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life to work out His purposes in your life and for His glory and for your good. To believe in God's providence as we do, as the Bible teaches, doesn't mean that life will be easy. Doesn't mean that life will be a life without pain. But it will be for the good. And sometimes we're privileged to see the reason why. Sometimes God pulls back the curtain so we can look in and see and look back and say, I understand. Many times the curtain remains shut, but friends, if the curtain were to be cast aside, you would see it and would make sense to us. Most often we don't see behind the curtain. That is when we're called to trust God. God heals the blind so that through the lives of those who were once blind, others may see the light of the world. The blind are healed so that God's glory might be displayed in His providence. So we've seen that the blind are healed to display God's glory. That's just the first point of my sermon. I say if you're going to have points in your sermon that are of different length, it's a good idea to put the shortest one at the end. Is that good advice? Otherwise, I'd be leading you on and you'd be very disappointed. But no, there is one other reason why the blind are healed. There are probably more reasons, but I've got one reason I want to give you as well. The blind are healed, as we've seen, to display God's glory. But the second reason is that the blind are healed also to reveal God's judgment and His mercy. God's judgment and His mercy. Jesus says in verses 39 and following, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." That word that Jesus uses there, right up at the beginning on the first line, when Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world," that word there for judgment is in itself a neutral term. It's not to be seen in an overriding negative sense. In John 3 and verse 17, for example, we read, "God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." That's what God sent His Son into the world. Rather, the judgment that John is speaking about, or that Jesus speaks of here, "For judgment I have come into the world," John is speaking, Jesus is speaking about the dividing of the world into two camps, into two positions. People are divided according to how they relate to Jesus, the light of the world. And if the Pharisees had been only physically blind, if they had seen their need for spiritual generation, then there would have been no problem. As light of the world, that's what Jesus is all about. He's in the business of restoring spiritual sight. Jesus' physical miracle is demonstrated to anyone willing to listen, anyone with an open mind, anyone willing to look at the evidence around them. Jesus has demonstrated that He can restore sight. Brothers and sisters, I think the real tragedy today, as it was then, not those who are born physically blind, as sad as that is, but those who are still blind, even though they pretend to see. Like people who go to the optometrist to get their eyes checked, they know that they're blind, so they memorize the chart before they go. That's what they're like. The reaction of some to Jesus' teaching, both then and now, would be, "What, me blind? I can see. What are you on about? that's you this evening. You need help desperately. Because the comfortableness and the peace that you put on to show others is indeed just that. It's just a show to help you get through life because you've done like that foolish thing. You've memorized the eye chart. You've done so because deep down you know that you're blind. For in your heart of hearts, you know that the words that I've spoken this evening are true. True not because I've said so, but because God has. God still heals the blind today. Praise the Lord. God heals the blind who are honest enough to admit to their blindness, who own up to not being able to see all the letters on the chart, that they can't see, that they don't have all the answers in life, that they can't save themselves. If that's you this evening, you acknowledge that you can't see. And I'm pointing you to Jesus, as we ought to point everyone to Jesus. To Jesus, the light of the world, who came into a dark world to bring spiritual sight to those who have been blinded by their sins. God calls each one of us this evening, just as Jesus called the blind man, to believe in the Son of God. If you do this, you will be saved. That's the promise of the gospel. The promise we saw this morning demonstrated, illustrated, the promises of the gospel seen in baptism. Sung the words before. How very fitting words they are indeed. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen.